Welcome to The Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hi there, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And tonight's show is going to be very interesting because I'm going to be talking about astrology, and of course I talk about astrology every week, but this time I'm going to take a step back and give you an overview of astrology and what it is and how it, I'll say started loosely, but how it started and how it's been used in different cultures across the world. Now, astrology, most people think that it's their daily horoscope, and I used to say in a newspaper, but of course nowadays newspapers they seem to be becoming a little bit obsolete. Most people think astrology is a daily horoscope in a newspaper or on a website or through a mobile app, etc. So astrology is not just a daily horoscope or not just a sun sign. There is so much more to it. It's the daily horoscope or the sun sign is just the very, very tip of the iceberg. And astrology has a fascinating history. So the earliest recorded interpretations of astrology were found from around 1645 to 1625 BC. That's a really, really, really long time ago. And the earliest known horoscope dates back to about 410 BC. And when I use the word horoscope in this instance, it's more about the astrology chart wheel. And technically, that's what the correct name for the astrology chart wheel is, technically called a horoscope. But in modern day, it has turned into horoscopes being a daily interpretation based from the moon's position in relation to your sun sign. Weekly horoscope is what's going to happen for your sign in a particular week. And a monthly horoscope is the same, but just for the month, what's going to happen in the month for any given sign. So the word horoscope always used to be used for someone's astrology chart wheel. And a chart wheel is based from a date, time, and place of birth. At the moment you were born, or really the moment you were born, meaning the first breath that somebody takes, as soon as they're born, that is the moment you were born, the first breath that you take, and a time is set within the minute. And technically, for astrologers, it really is, it is better if it's within 4 minutes of the moment someone takes their first breath. And then a chart is cast. And so what that means is that the sign, the zodiac sign that was rising on the eastern horizon at the moment of your birth sets the ascendant. I know I'm getting a little bit too technical, but I'm just going to give a little bit of background in case some of you listeners might want a little bit more depth, but I will try and keep the technicalities and the jargon to a minimum. But basically, that's the technicality of it. So the moment you were born, astrologers looked to the eastern horizon and looked at the sign that was rising on the eastern horizon at the time you were born, in the location you were born, and of course the date you were born. And so that's what casts an astrology chart, which is officially technically known as a horoscope. So with astrology, anyone can gain greater personal understanding with astrology because it affects our lives. Just as the moon influences the tides, so you have the moon, which is a satellite to the earth, and the moon controls the water on this earth, and so hence the other planets control various things as well to us people here on Earth. And I usually explain it like the planets have their own type of gravity, which has an effect for us here on Earth. So the easiest way to really think about it is the moon influencing the tides and the water of this Earth. And so hence the other planets have the same sort of effect, but in varying ways. So, for example, the moon controls our emotions. And as humans, we comprise 80%+ of water. So it makes sense that the moon is the ruler of emotions and feelings. And so that all ties into the water signs. The water signs, they say, are more emotional than the other signs. And the water signs are Cancer, Scorpio and Pisces. So the other signs, the other elements, fire, earth, air and water. So it all correlates together. And so astrology provides us tools that can help us make the best and most informed decisions in our lives. So I always say that astrology is a guide, not a god. It's a guide. It helps us understand ourselves, other people in our lives, and how we connect to others, and even events that have happened in our lives at various times. So when I give readings to people, which I've done for many years, people all over the world, they come to me looking for guidance. I don't, as an astrologer, I don't promise the answers. The answers are within ourselves. What I can do is offer help and guidance and provide valuable insight, and that's looking to what I call transits. Transits are where the planets are at any given time and how they're affecting you and your birth chart or your chart wheel. So that's how it sort of goes with a reading. And people come to me for all different with all different types of questions. In their lives, you know, that the most common would be their love life. But basically, people will seek an astrologer or other type of counsellor when they're at a crossroads in their life, when they're seeking help, crossroads, trying to make a decision, maybe dealing with major crisis in their life. That's usually another time people consult an astrologer, is when there is a lot going on. And I think really the reason people seek the advice of an astrologer is to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes when we're in the middle of a crisis and there looks like there's no way out, astrology can really provide valuable guidance, because astrology helps us to understand that life is cyclical. So the planets move around the sun in predictable patterns, predictable orbit around the sun. And so our lives follow suit. So in other words, nothing is forever. And if we're in the middle of a crisis, the most valuable piece of information, I think, for most people is that there is an end. There is going to be an end to whatever is going on, to the crisis. It's just we have to go through the process. You know, we have to go through the karma. We have to learn the lessons of what we're going through within our life. So it's really important in that respect alone to know that there will be an end to any sort of negative situation or anything that's tough or challenging. You know, and sometimes there is a saying, and I don't usually like to use this, but just in the context of what I'm saying, I've heard this over time, and it's time heals all wounds. And I don't know if I fully agree with that. Time makes things less. So people seek the wisdom and advice from an astrologer to know that a particular thing will come to an end, or something, they'll get through something. Astrology is not really about predicting lucky numbers or reading your palm to tell you that you're going to win the lotto in 3 years' time. It's definitely not that. And I don't think there is anything out there that really can do that. So don't believe anybody who promises you that they can do that or they have the answers. Steer clear of anything like that that is not what, not just not what astrology is about, but that's really not it. If it feels too good to be true, it usually is. So what astrologers can provide is guidance and insight. And on that note, I am going to take a short break. After the break, I will continue, so stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, and welcome back to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about astrology. And I'd like to touch on the history of astrology throughout the show as well. It's not just a modern day invention. I can't think of a better word than that, but it goes back thousands of years. It's been around since we can remember. Dating back from 1645 BC. So with astrology, anyone can gain greater personal understanding with it because it affects our lives as the moon affects the tides on Earth. And so astrology can provide us tools that help us make the best and most informed decisions. If you can think about it like a map for your soul that provides you with insights into the future and reveals the tendencies, the quirks, and the truth about human nature, relationships, career choices, and generally the world at large. Yes, it can be used for a guide for daily living, but really with astrology, the further back you can step, the more useful it can be. So in other words, yes, we use astrology through or via daily horoscopes, and if they are written correctly and accurately, a daily horoscope takes the moon's position and it correlates it to your sun sign. So it's really the very, very tip of the iceberg of what astrology can do for us. So if we take one point, which is the moon, out of all the planets in all the signs, so the moon in a sign, relating it back to your sun sign, and that gives us a snippet, a tiny snippet of what astrology can do for us, but it's a good place to start. So daily horoscope is based off the moon's position to your sun sign. Now, the moon is the moon and sun we categorise as planets, but we know technically that the moon and the sun are not planets. The moon is a satellite to Earth and the sun is a star. But just to make life easier, we categorise them as planets. So the moon's position, the moon changes sign every 2.5 days. And so the moon cycle is every 28 to 29 days. And then it starts all over again. Whereas if you compare that to Pluto, and yes, Pluto is still a planet, according to astrologers, if you compare the moon cycle of every 28 days to the cycle of Pluto, which is every 12 to 28 years through one sign, and then you have that cycle, it's amazing. The difference is absolutely incredible. And if you remember being at school, typically it's like middle school, where you learn about the solar system and then you, if you're fortunate enough, you can build a replica of our solar system with the sun and the planets going around. And if you remember like Pluto being, or even Mercury being that little tiny pea, and then you build out Saturn, which is the biggest Jupiter and then Saturn, the biggest planets of the solar system. And then you have like a balloon and the paper mache. And so then you have that probably as big as a basketball compared as to Jupiter and Saturn, and then a little pea for Mercury and Pluto. So the size of the planet doesn't matter as much as the weight of the planet. And the weight, and I don't mean like getting on a scale and getting weighed, but I just mean the mythology behind the meaning or the interpretation of the planets. Because in one sense, here you have, from an astronomer's point of view, they calculate the planets moving around the sun and the predictable pattern or movement of those planets. And then what astrologers do is they take that calculation and then we add interpretation to the movement of the planets. And those interpretations come from ancient Greek and Roman mythology. So, for example, you have, I just talked about Jupiter and Saturn. So Jupiter, the myth of Jupiter is Zeus, and Zeus is god of the gods. And Zeus is the almighty power, so he's represented by the planet Jupiter. And then his father is Saturn, Kronos. And so they all have mythology around the planets. And so that's where astrologers get the interpretations from, ancient Greek and Roman mythology, So it's basically tracking. There's two parts to it. So there's tracking, there's the calculation, the scientific calculation of the movements of the planets around the sun, and then you have the interpretation. So astronomers study the movement of the planets and the stars and basically the Milky Way out there, but there's no interpretation around what they do. Astrologers bring the interpretation based off this ancient information. I also like to call astrology an ancient wisdom because it's been around for so long, and it really does require left brain, right brain, because on one hand you've got to have the calculations, although of course the calculations, thank goodness for computers, because computers can calculate the planetary movements so beautifully that we don't have to do it by hand anymore out of great big textbooks. And we do use rocket science, I do like to say that sometimes, because NASA typically calculates the movements of the planets around the sun, and so then we can take that information, turn it into an ephemeris. An ephemeris is what I call the astrologer's Bible, and the ephemeris, you cannot do real proper astrology without an ephemeris, and that is basically a book of numbers. And so an ephemeris, and I do have an ephemeris on my website. If you go to theastrologer.com/today, you will see in the left-hand column, I have, it's called February's Planets. And so if you click on that link, you will see an ephemeris for February. And basically that means it tracks the movement of the planets around the sun. And of course, from our perspective here on Earth, we look up at the sun, and it's like the sun is moving around us. And that's what the, quite a few hundred years ago, people used to think that we were the center of the Earth. Of course, some people still think that. But we were the center of the galaxy, and all the planets moved around us, which, of course, that's logical. That's a reasonable thing to think without technology way back when. And that's called, that is very reasonable, and that is how a birth chart is calculated from our position on Earth and also where we were born. So it is very, very much about we are the center of our own universe, according to astrology, when you take those factors into consideration. But really, you know, technically everything moves around the sun. And there are astrologers out there who do calculate from the position of the sun, correctly so in some ways, technically so, of calculating everything moving around the sun, and that's called heliocentric calculation. But really what Western astrologers do, and I consider myself a Western astrologer, is that we take where we were born and make that the center of someone's universe, which, as I'm saying it out loud, it really does make sense. And of course, I just said Western astrology. There are not just two types of astrology. Throughout the world, there are different cultures. Some cultures have their own astrological calculations. So two classic examples. The first one is Western astrology. And of course, in the Western world, we practice Western or tropical astrology. And that is based off the seasons. So if over the years, you know, I've heard people discredit Western astrology, in particular tropical astrology, because they think that we calculate our interpretations based from the stars. And of course, we call it the stars, so I understand why there is confusion. But really, we take the first point of Aries, the zero point of Aries, and in the Northern Hemisphere, it's the first day of spring, also called the vernal point. And we take that point, and that's what we calculate everything else from, is that point of the vernal equinox, or the first day of Aries, or 0 degrees Aries, the very first degree and sign of the zodiac. We do not take the stars. and we do not calculate from the stars. We measure from the fixed stars, but we don't actually calculate from them. There's a really big difference. So that's why if you hear people poo-pooing, astrology is just made up, and that's the reason why. It's not based from the stars, it's based from the seasons. That's why the seasons and the hemispheres are really crucial in Western or tropical astrology. Because I was someone who was born in the southern hemisphere, and so, of course, in the southern hemisphere, the seasons are reversed. So at the zero point of Aries, the first point of the zodiac, it will be autumn. And, of course, in the northern hemisphere, we will be moving into spring. And, of course, being a southern, a natural southern hemisphere, the astrologer, what a headache that was. Because with my calculations, everything was reversed. Just a bit like when they say water going down the drain. In the southern hemisphere, it goes down the other way. Now, I have to say supposedly, because every time I'm in the southern hemisphere, I sort of forget to keep checking that. And it's been so long now that I'm only just remembering because I'm bringing it up. But it's like, definitely with the stars and calculations, everything is reversed. The signs have to be reversed to fit the northern hemisphere. But according to tropical or Western astrology, it's definitely seasonal. In other words, the equinox, the two equinox points, the two solstice points are incredibly important. They do hold a lot of weight. Whereas if you have Indian or Vedic astrology, they calculate off something called sidereal, and it takes the exact location of the stars or the fixed stars. And so they calculate it. So we're going to take a short break, and after the break, I will continue with the overview of astrology. So stay tuned.
Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about astrology. So not just astrology, but the history, what it is, what it does, all that good stuff. So just before the break, I was talking about astrology and just the equinoxes, the solstice, and how crucial that is to Western or tropical astrology, which is very different to Indian or Vedic astrology, which uses the fixed stars or the stars for their calculation. And if ever you've had any sort of information or a reading from an Indian or Vedic astrologer, their zodiac is 23 degrees behind ours. So if you're a Leo in Western astrology and then you get a reading from a Vedic astrologer, they might tell you you're a Cancer. So it could be any sign before yours, which is about 23 days or degrees. You might be told that you're a different sign. So there is a little bit of confusion. The planets still have the same meanings. As far as I understand, they only use through Saturn. They don't use the outer three planets. And the Vedic or Indian astrologers rely heavily on the North Node and the South Node, which according to Western astrologers is karma and destiny. Past life or future. So that's very heavily weighted from what I understand in Vedic astrology. So as I said, astrology is an ancient complex system that dates back to the third millennium BC. And it's always been used based on celestial observations and correlating events. And astrology helped lay the foundation for the development of astronomy. It used to be one and the same. It's also over time has influenced belief systems and even entire cultures. And India is one culture that comes to mind. You might have heard that in India people don't get married. Maybe in modern times it might be a bit different, but definitely throughout time, people do not get married unless they have the blessing of their astrologer. Many families have their own astrologers, and astrologers are highly revered in India, as they have been throughout history. So throughout history, I'll say the birth, but I'm saying that loosely because I'm just going by what has been recorded. And so when people could actually write things down through signs and symbols, and astrology is definitely about signs and symbols, because there is a whole language to astrology. It's what we call glyphs. And if you've seen an astrology chart, you might have seen all these little squiggles and little symbols everywhere. Well, that's what we call glyphs. If you haven't seen an astrology glyph or have not had your chart wheel interpreted, definitely go to my website, theastrologer.com/chart wheel. There you can get a free chart wheel based off your date, time and place of birth. If you don't know your time of birth, that's okay. What I've done is had the calculation set to what I call the natural house system, where the ascendant, which is the 9 o'clock point, starts at 0 degrees Aries. And let me see. And I have a real thing about that. Some astrologers, if they don't know your time of birth, they might set your chart wheel to 7 a.m. or even noon. That is not correct. Anyway, so back to the history of astrology in the West, at least. So we understand that the birthplace of modern, let's just say modern astrology or Western astrology, Mesopotamia. So this was where we first saw astrology, like the first Babylonian dynasty, and that was 1645 to 1625 BC. The earliest recording of astrological interpretations of star omens were found on cuneiform tablets. And so the earliest currently known are the, and bear with me as I try and pronounce this, but the earliest currently known are the Amezadai. I don't even know why I even try to pronounce this, but Amezaduga tablets from the first Babylonian dynasty, and that's 1645 to 1625 BC. Just take no note of the BC at the end of that. And it contained information on the planet Venus. So that's very interesting. I've also heard as well that the moon phases, and I don't have a year for this, but the moon phases were carved on bone probably around the same time as well. Also in ancient Egypt, the astrology was discovered, some recordings there, and they used the Egyptian relationship to the stars took the form of astral religion and sophistication in timekeeping. Also, the temples in Egypt show precise astronomical alignment. And, of course, calendar science was highly developed and eventually influenced the rest of the world from ancient Egypt. And, of course, the most important astronomical event in ancient Egypt was the helical rising of Sirius, which coincided with the flooding of the Nile, which was a regular occurrence. So we do have some recorded history that they could predict the flooding of the Nile with Sirius. So as I said earlier in the show, the interpretations of astrology, many of the interpretations are from ancient Greece and Rome. And I gave you an example of Jupiter and Saturn. But basically, there's a lot of incredible mythology comes about from ancient Greece and Rome. And it's just amazing, just so much rich information with these interpretations from that time. Really, really interesting, involved stories. So the Greek and Romans had very similar interpretations and but different names. So I'm just thinking of Jupiter's wife was Juno and also Hera. And so the same story or mythology, but just different names. Also with the Romans, there are at least two emperors who were practicing astrologers, Tiberius and Hadrian, and most people consulted astrologers, who astrologers were generally among the most learned men of the time. They were the scholars and the highly respected and regarded people were astrologers. I'm also thinking, jumping forward to Queen Elizabeth I, and her astrologer was John Dee, and he's a very well-known astrologer throughout history. So John Dee was Queen Elizabeth I's astrologer, and he was a very, very close advisor to her. And he did predict a lot, including her confinement for many years. Also, through the Middle Ages, we have Arabic astrology as well. And with Arabic astrology, from Arabic astrology, I should say, we derived electional horary medical astrology, which was very emphasized with this culture. And so electional astrology is something that I practice a lot and have consulted to many people over the years. And electional astrology is setting a good time to do something. So basically it's setting the most auspicious time for a particular event. And the most common has been I've set many, many wedding dates and times, many wedding dates and times through electional astrology. And I think I mentioned this on a recent show. I had recently set the opening of a hair salon and of course have a lifetime of haircuts. So that's quite good and quite, I like that sort of trade, doing those types of things. But I did, I usually with setting wedding dates and times and opening businesses, of course it has to be within business hours. That can make it a little bit more tricky because you don't have free rein. But in this particular case with the hair salon, I did say the best time of all for quite a few months is going to be probably, I think it was around 7:30-ish on a Saturday night. So they decided to have an opening party at that time. So that really did set the opening of the business. And also horary astrology, as I just mentioned before, was popular from Arabic astrology. And horary astrology is asking a question to get an answer. That's a little bit more tricky. There are astrologers out there who do specialise in that particular branch of astrology. And so a really basic example is if you've lost an item, well, the moment that the astrologer gets asked the question, where is my ring, you cast a chart for that very moment. And then it's supposed to guide and help you. I don't have the detail of horary astrology. I have practiced it here and there, but it's definitely a specialised branch of astrology. As is medical astrology, astrologers do not give medical advice. It's always about seeking a doctor, of course, and no one should ever offer medical advice unless they are qualified. So there are things within... many branches of astrology, medical meaning not offering medical advice, but basically understanding maybe chronic conditions, why they come about, are they karmic, do we bring things in from past lives? That does a lot of times include medical issues. Each degree of the zodiac has a meaning. So, for an example, I'm going to take a quick break and I will continue with astrology, but stay tuned.
Your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about astrology. And just before the break, I was talking about astrology throughout history and how it really has been all across the world. I remember when I first started astrology.com back in 1995, and people would visit the site from all over the world. It sounds so clueless now, after all these years and how the internet is and everybody's connected and, of course, all through social media. There wasn't social media back in 95. There wasn't anything like it. People barely had email. So when I just started putting information up about astrology, really because it was something that I did and I was. It was just, I was amazed when I looked at the website visitors and people coming from all over the world. It's not just something that happens in the US or the Western world. It's like astrology really has been throughout history all over the world from all cultures. So that was something that was really, really insightful to me, that this ancient wisdom has been around for a long time all over the world. And so just for the break, I was talking about the Middle Ages and Arabic astrology, and then the medieval West, and how astrology has just been through through cultures and through literature, and lots of mentions of it in various places. And so how there's different branches of astrology. And even, you know, for example, by the 13th century, you know, most Italian courts had astrologers. And astrology was being taught at the universities, and scholars and learned men were astrologers. And it was very highly regarded at that time, throughout history, of course. And then you've got the Renaissance and the scientific revolution. And the Renaissance, you've got the painters, and of course, any time I say the Renaissance, I think of the Renaissance. I always think of Michelangelo and how he had incorporated various things into his works. And there's a lot of famous astrologers from that time. I mentioned John Dee; he was the astrologer to Queen Elizabeth I, Nabote, Placidus. And also there's a calculation, a house calculation based called Placidus, which is based off the astrologer Placidus from the Renaissance era. And then during the scientific revolution, a lot of things came about at that time. The world sort of really changed a lot. We did start getting more scientific. And of course, you know, we've got pioneers of astrology, and Kepler, Galileo, Francis Bacon, the modern scientific movement. They were all generally friendly towards astrology. Of course, there's always exceptions, but that, you know, it was all sort of one and the same at that time. And then I'm moving right along here to a quick overview of the history. Kepler, I don't know if I mentioned Kepler before, Copernicus, Kepler, just to name a few. And then throughout the 20th century, through England, and then there's other astrologers to know at that time. But astrology was flourishing in England. And also astrology and astronomy throughout the 20th century was separating, and previously they'd always been one and the same. And then people were starting to publish almanacs, and horary astrology was being practiced extensively at that time as well. And horary, as I just said, is you cast a chart at the moment in time that someone asks you a question. And so there were attacks on astrologers that started to come about at that time as well. Jonathan Swift was somebody who was attacking astrology at that time, but the almanac did survive. And their names to know, astrologers to know at that time, William Lilly is probably a really big name. Who else would there be? Sibley. Ashmole, Robert Cross Smith, Richard James Morrison, etc. Oh, Alfred James Pierce. And then, of course, throughout the world, 20th century, as I just said. Oh, another big name, Alan Leo. He's very well known. And then in 1930, newspaper astrology, as I referenced in the very beginning, daily horoscopes, reading in the newspaper, that came about in about 1930. in the London Sunday Express. And also Cyril Fagan in Ireland. He's another really well-known astrologer. He was founder of the Sidereolist movement in astrology. And the Sidereolist movement is what I talked about before, is the calculation of astrology based off the position of the fixed stars. So then, another name, John Addy, he pioneered and developed the harmonic theory of astrology, which is amazing. It's basically how the planets connect to each other. Usually we do it by degree, called the aspects, but in this case, he ties different, what appeared to be different aspects together, but really they're of the same family, I guess is probably the easiest way to explain it. So astrology continued throughout France. A really highly regarded astrologer, Michael Gorklin, and his wife, Francoise, they really did a lot with trying to prove astrology in France in the 1950s. They really, really did a lot, and they were proving the definitive link between planetary position and human nature. Very highly regarded in the astrological world. Germany was becoming very popular last century as well. And then you have something there called cosmobiology that was developed in Germany. And then, of course, you come to the United States. And the United States, popular names, C.C. Zane was another one. His many authors were definitely respected. Grant Louis, Carl Payne. But also someone I'd like to mention is Evangeline Adams. So Evangeline Adams was around in the late 1800s or early 1900s, and she got a lot of publicity because she was in New York practicing astrology, and was arrested for fortune telling, and so that was really interesting. She got taken to court, and the judge asked her to prove that astrology works and is real. And it turns out that the judge gave Evangeline Adams his son's date of birth. His son was in a lot of trouble at the time. And so Evangeline Adams was put on the stand and basically had to do a chart reading on the stand. And she absolutely nailed it. She rocked it. And the judge was impressed and let her off. She was let off, but then she became really famous after that. And there's a whole book written about Evangeline Adams. And she's definitely one of my heroes, having to be put through the test and passed with flying colours. Other names, respected names in the astrological world from last century, Mark Edmund Jones, Vernon Clark, and, of course, Robert Hand. Robert Hand is alive and living and well and highly regarded. And if you are ever fortunate enough to go to an astrology conference, he's like the rock star. It's funny because at any sort of astrology conference, the rock stars are the older folk, because astrology is, as I said, it's an ancient wisdom. So wisdom doesn't come to, not typically to younger people. Life experience brings wisdom. Astrology respects the older astrologers because they're the ones with wisdom, of course, years and years of experience. And I believe that's how it should be, I think, anyway, across cultures. But so if you go to an astrology conference, the older folk are the rock stars, and Robert Hand is the rock star. Written many books, one of the most famous astrological books is called Planets in Transit. And so basically it gives you the interpretation of all the planets in all the signs and making various aspects. Oh, and speaking of books, astrological books, the the book I would recommend to get started that has everything in it is called The Compendium of Astrology, or not the, it's called Compendium of Astrology by Rose Lineman and Jan Popelka. And this is a book I have recommended for 20 plus years to everybody. And in my hand right now, I am holding a signed copy. It was so amazing because there was one time I was speaking at an astrology conference in, could have been Cleveland, Ohio. And speaking at a conference, and I can't even tell you why I had the Compendium of Astrology with me. And I always make sure that I speak to the old, I call them the old time astrologers, and you can always learn something. And I think one of them said to me, what's your favorite astrology book? And of course I said Compendium of Astrology. And amazingly, it was Jan Popelka, who was one of the authors of this book. So that was a bit of synchronicity. Anyway, on that note, thanks for joining me. Thanks for tuning in and learning a little bit more about astrology. Tune in for next week's show. This is The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox.